don't understand why you so love me. Why your church and people care about me. And sometimes when I think about it, I want to cry, really. I don't understand why, who I am, and it's a big miracle how God to do that I met Paul, and now you part of my life. And thank you very much. At first, I want to say thank you very much from all my team for your prayer and your support for, and most we thank you, we appreciate you for your prayers. And thank you very much. Without you, we can't to do what we to do. And sorry for my English not so good. And
our Russian is worse.
Oh, thank you. And at first, I want to say that I will try preach today. I hope you will understand me. This is will be my second preach on English language. That's why maybe sometimes I will read something. I hope it will be more understandable. And at first, my preach, I want to show short movie about our ministry. It will be testimony of couple our students. They will speak Russian, but you will can read subtitles, English subtitles. They will tell a little bit about our ministry, how they look it, how they understand our ministry. And please, we'll take a couple minutes and watch this short video.
С кампусом моя жизнь круто поменялась. Сейчас я не просиживаю часы дома, как это было раньше, а могу классно, весело проводить время с интересными людьми в крутых местах. И я точно знаю, что я не трачу свою жизнь напрасно. За последние полгода мои цели и ценности в служении очень сильно поменялись, и особенно в благовестии. Узнав разные методы, как можно просто поделиться Евангелием, у меня ушел всякий страх, который сковывал меня очень долгое время. Пару месяцев назад мы со студентами в моем университете начали молитву, и сейчас готовим евангелизацию перед Пасхой, чтобы напомнить о смысле этого праздника и о жертве Иисуса Христа.
Кампус — это движение. Невозможно находиться в нем, не прикладывая определенных усилий. Именно поэтому я благодарен Богу, который познакомил меня с кампусом, где я из пассивного христианина превратился в активного. Меня вдохновляет каждый сотрудник этого движения, и я верю, что через них еще много студентов Днепропетровска узнают о Христе. Благодаря кампусу в моей академии образовалась молитвенная группа, которая меня также вдохновляет. В Днепропетровске много движений, но кампус, наверное, единственное, которое так много говорит о Божьей любви и так активно трудится для улучшения духовной жизни студентов. А именно с духа начинается изменение нашей души и тела.
Я не случайно нахожусь в этом месте. Именно здесь я впервые познакомился с кампусом. Это был английский клуб с замечательным преподавателем Деннисом, после которых я начал задавать все больше вопросов, ходить на встречи, я начал искать Бога. Кампус помог мне стать сильнее в духовном плане. Именно здесь я почувствовал поддержку и научился по-настоящему доверять людям.
Я очень рад, что могу быть частью такой команды, как Кампус Днепр, за то, что у меня есть наставник, есть люди, которые помогают мне развиваться в духовных сферах, которые помогают мне развиваться во всех сферах, и чтобы там была видна моя духовная жизнь. И я очень благодарен за то, что они вкладывают в меня как служителя, и что в свои молодые годы я уже имею опыт служения. И я верю, что этот опыт пригодится мне дальше, чтобы приводить людей ко Христу и показывать в своей жизни жизнь Иисуса Христа. И гореть таким огнем, и служить всем людям, которые вокруг меня.
Thank you very much. It's a little bit about how students to see our ministry, and now I want to start my preaching from one question. What genre of books did you like read when you were in childhood or teenager? What kind of book do you like read? Did you like read? Fairy tales, cowboy stories. Personally, I loved books about explorers and sea traveler. I have always been interested in sea travel, the discovery of new worlds. Read how people first discovered unknown plants and animals for them and how they describe it. It was very interesting for me. And most of these stories were connected with the treasure hunters and pirates. It was interesting for me. I think that for you maybe too. I remember as a special impression on my book Hemingway, The Old Man and Sea. And I thought that in this book there is no action, but I read and wept over not easy life of this old man. Today's message will also be around the sea theme. The same will be the sea, experienced sailors, fishermen. Will storms, ghosts, superstitions, well as in all books of this genre. And I think that maybe you guess story what I want to share with you. I hope. we will speak about storm, how disciples was in the storm and Jesus stepped on the water to them. But we will talk about it a little bit later. And now I want to share with you about storms, what we had in our life. And 2 years ago, when I were in this church, I share with you about me, who I am, how I became part of Campus Crusade for Christ, this mission. And now I want to just tell you other story. 2 years ago, I said that we were served 7 years in south of Ukraine in a city called Odessa. And 2 years ago, we moved to Dnieper or Dniepropetrovsk. And I want to share with you what was happening during these 2 years. And it all started when I drive and my phone ran. And can we look? Oh, yes. This is my phone. And it's not just phone. It's phone that sometimes Paul present for me. And thank you very much. It was a big blessing for me, for my ministry. And this phone was run. And it was my director. And he said that, Zhenya, hello. All national leadership had prayed. And God show us that we want to offer your family an opportunity to move to Dniepropetrovsk on the east of Ukraine. And we would serve 1 year in a local campus team, and then after 1 year, I would became team leader. And it turned out we were the last people for who they made this offer to. And if we didn't accept this decision, they could close the team and stop to have ministry in this city. And at the finish, he said that, okay, Zhenya, so you know everything what we want, and you have 3 days to make decision. And I said, what? 3 days? Usually people need a couple months to make such important decision in their life. But then I thought that if they give more time for us, the common sense would have prevailed, and we would have refused this offer. So after praying and feasting, my crying wife said that I will go with you, I will follow you, whatever God will lead you. And so we said yes, yes to God. Afterwards, a lot of miracles began happening in our life. And it was like we sit on the boat and we, I don't know how to say, swim on this boat. And it was started a lot of storms in our lives. We made this decision in very unstable time in Ukraine. I think that you heard about revolution in Ukraine and about war in Ukraine. And we made this decision and just, we made decision move to east of Ukraine, and just after a couple days, I think it could be 3 or 4 days, the war came to east of Ukraine. Just 100 miles from this city in what we will move. During the time when people tried to move from east, where is war, to the west, we came to the east from the west. And it was not easy time. We didn't know what expect, and we really afraid that Russia will want to have more war, and Russia will want take more space, and our city is so close to this conflict. And we really we started early. We started each morning. We started with prayers about war and with checking the last news. Where is war? How close it to our city? And and this is my wife. Now she's not crying, but she was. It's my lovely wife Lena, and this is my two sons. And this picture 1 year old, so now they a little bit bigger. But I think that I'm not bigger. And this is Matthew. He is 3 years old. This is Daniel. He is 8 years old. Yes, and we moved to Dnipropetrovsk. Dnipropetrovsk is a big city with 1 million population, and in Dnipropetrovsk was a closed city in Soviet Union because we produce engine for rockets. It's biggest plant in Soviet Union in our city, and it was when we thought. When we decided to move to Dnipropetrovsk, war was started, and you can see 7 years we had ministry in Odessa, right there, and then we moved from this place to this, Dnipropetrovsk, but fighting was started right there. And when we just made this decision, Dnipropetrovsk right there, but war was right there. Now Ukraine army push them, and now Russia right there. And what do you think? What is it? Please tell me. What is the back? Lunch. Oh, if I have so big lunch, I will be bigger. No, it's not lunch, Dennis. What? Maybe, but I don't understand this word. Sorry. So, okay. This is special bag. We put together this bag with all our documents and few diapers in case the war reach our city. And we really, maybe 1 year, this bag stand in some place because we thought that if conflict will come to us, we will take it and go from our city. But God was good and prevented a large-scale war. It was difficult to switch back to the ministry from thinking about the war and possibility having to flee the city. But God gave us strength we needed. Once He spoke to my heart through picture of the night sky with bright fireworks exploding. This fireworks was an image what God want to do in dark city, post-Soviet city, Dnipropetrovsk. And it give us strength, energy, and we understood that God has plan for this city and everything will be good. We need just think about ministry and stop thinking about how we will run and like that. And it give us more energy and help us shift our thoughts from war to ministry. It's storm, but when you, I don't know this word, fly, but when you row on the, when you row from land, row more and more, storm bigger and bigger. And devil did not slumber. In August, I received another phone call. This one. It was my mom. And I understood that she had problem. She had big problem. She had big problem with your mind. And I had to go visit her, and she was committed to psychiatric hospital involuntarily. Her doctor said she had paranoid schizophrenia, which she would probably continue to suffer from the rest of her life. And during 1 year, she was in hospital during 6 weeks, 6 months, sorry. And it was not easy too. And when I came back, just I spent maybe about 4 days with my mother. I went to hospital and thought about other stuff in your home. And then when I just back to Dnieper, my smaller, this is my mother, and my smaller son, Matthew, I think that you think, what is it? What is him? I will tell you a story. One time, it was at morning, Mother's Day. At morning, Mother's Day, I cook very tasty coffee, and I cook breakfast for my wife, and we sit on the kitchen, and we relax just to feel satisfied from peace, quiet, coffee. But then we thought, why it's so quiet? And then we find out him. He stole Lena's lipstick and he did it. So when I back from my mother to Dnieper, we to know that Matthew had groin hernia and needed surgery. And Lena and he went to another city for the surgery. And Dnipropetrovsk is industrial city with bad ecology, a lot of pollution. And during our first year here, our kids got sick a lot. And sometimes, first year, they were sick each 2-3 weeks. And it was a big challenge for us, and especially for my wife. It was our storm. But God is good. All the time. And all the time God is good. There were many trials that I could write about, but I want to tell you about God's faithfulness in His work. And He has been faithful through this time, giving peace both to our region. So in Dnipropetrovsk we have peace and Russian troops never came to us. God give peace in our heart. We can stop thinking about war and start thinking about ministry. And through the military conflict in eastern Ukraine, He, God, has opened a new door for evangelism and ministry. Our staff and volunteers went on a several mission trips to the conflict area, helped restore building and visit wounded soldiers. And 2 years ago, to go to frontline zone, it was very dangerous. Now it's not so dangerous, but 2 years ago it was very dangerous. And I know some Christian people who went with bread and with food for people, and Russian troops killed them. And it was not, it was like that. And we take non-Christian students with us. And it was the best testimony for non-Christian students. Why? Because in Ukraine, usually people think that evangelic church, evangelic Christian is danger, it's sect, it's cult, something like that. But when we take non-Christian students with us and help people build some houses for people, and when we came to hospital for wounded soldiers, maybe soldiers will be without arm or without leg, and we spoke with him, how are you? Are you angry for God? Or you maybe pray for God? And how it was on the front? Do you want that we pray for you? And we took with you non-Christian students, and it means that that this wounded soldier heard about gospel, and this non-Christian student heard about the gospel, and it was very interesting strategy. We also decided to work among refugee students in our city. This ministry became a key that helped open many locks and doors. Before, we could not officially go to the dorms and invite students to our events, and had at the most 50 people at our large meetings. After we started working with refugee students, the administration of the largest university gave us permission to work with their students. As a result, we were able to organize large projects for hundreds of students, and afterwards meet with many of them personally to share the gospel. And you can show. One time we had some big event. It was more than 200 students with us. And this, it's not big event, it's small group. Sometimes for our small group, and this, it was small group, came about 50 people, and it's not small group, it's small church. And God bless our ministry. During last year, we shared Christ with about 800 students one-on-one. And even more students heard the good news at our large events. We were able to distribute about, and we were able to do it with Dennis and Alan too, about 1,000 food packages to families in the conflict area. And disciples said people in our and other Ukrainian cities. Several students joined local churches and got baptized. And this is picture how we try to organize big event. We share the gospel on big event, but then we want to have one-on-one meeting with each student, and then speak about gospel more. And it's like one meeting we have very interesting tool for evangelize when we can speak about God. But we'll back to my preach. I hope I will preach today. I want ask you open Matthew chapter 14 from 22 words. Matthew chapter 14 from 22. And maybe I will ask somebody to read it from 22 till 33. Paul, can you read it, please?
While he sent the multitude away. After he sent the multitudes away, he went into the mountain by himself to pray. It was evening, and he was there alone. The boat was already many stadia away from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately he spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come on out to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. Those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son."
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So, the night. Disciples are in a boat. Strong winds, huge waves. They are gone too far from the shore to the middle of the lake. And I think that you understand that on the middle, usually on the middle of the lake, it's the deepest place. And on this deepest place, the storm starts. To the coast is still far. Energy is all gone. The nerves to the limit. And do not forget that all this is happening at night, and they still had no lights. But as the sailors are known to be very superstitious people, and here they rowed, all strength running out, no energy, nervous to the limit, and all of the sudden they see someone walking on the water. And the first reaction of the disciples, it's scary. And they cry, "Ah, it is host!" I hope my pronunciation is good. But, in fact, it was Jesus who saw how these poor fellows are trying to cope with the waves and is about to drown. And he decided to come to their aid on the water. But if we go back to the beginning of this passage, we know that it is Jesus himself motivated them to go on a boat to the other side. How often do we get some called to do something by Christ? And we're trying to fulfill this work which Christ has instructed to us by our own efforts. We rowed, but our boat is still in the middle of the stormy sea of our Christian life and our calling. We cannot reach land, and it is too late to turn back. Our side is still far, but already have no energy. But the point is to live Christian life by relying on our own strength is not possible. We cannot fulfill God's calling by our own efforts. So disciples inquired. Jesus calmed them immediately. Jesus did not have the goal to scare disciples. He calmed them down and said, "This is me, do not be afraid." When God leads us into the storm, He has no purpose just punish us or scare us. He has a real and serious purpose why He allows us storms in our lives. He wants our faith to become stronger. Peter believes Him and said, "If thou be Christ, then command me come unto thee on the water." Jesus lets him. At first sight, it seems that the safest thing in the boat, especially when the storm. But in fact, the safest place is where Christ is. And no matter what the storm around him. And this is, I will say some passage. It's like what I understood through these 2 years. There is nothing better than to follow Christ in storm, and there is nothing sadder than to sit in safety without Christ. What is the boat of your life? What are you afraid to leave? In any case, think about what stops you to take the first step out from your sinking ship. To do this, you need faith. But you need to take this first step from your sinking boat. But to get out of the boat is good, but not enough. We need to come to Christ. When Peter put away his eyes from Christ, that he saw stormy sea and began to sink. If you took the first step in faith, it is very good. But this is only the beginning. We must keep our eyes on Christ to continue to believe, stay focused on Him. Just if we will focus it on Him, it will help us to fulfill His calling for our life, for your life. And I want to ask you, I will finish, and I want to ask you a question. Where are you now? Are you already got in the boat? I mean, did you make a step of faith and step it into the boat? Are you with Christ? Are you accept Jesus Christ in your heart? Do you still stay on the land, or you on Christ's boat? Second question. Okay, maybe you in boat. Praise the Lord. I'm very glad that you with Christ. But maybe it's so stormy. And maybe you, when you will look around, you will understand that Jesus not in your boat. Jesus in the storm. And maybe you have to make the first step to Christ from your boat. And third question. Maybe you to do it first step from your boat. If you did it, you need keep your eyes on Christ. And He will help you to do what He wants from you. He will help you to go through your storm. And this is my small passage what I want to tell to you. And I will pray for you that God help you at first to be with Jesus. I don't know, maybe you not with Him. To be with Him in your boat. Second, my prayer, it's if you in Christ's boat, maybe Jesus wants something more from you. Maybe it's time to make first step from your boat to the storm. But if you will take this step, you will can go on the water. And third, my prayers, it's maybe you go on the water and you in the storm, but you go to Christ and it's very difficult for you. And you can see big storm. I want to ask you and I will pray that your eyes will be on Jesus and He help you to go through storm to Him. And can I pray for you? Dear Jesus, I thank you very much for your love. I thank you that you save us. I thank you that you save me and change my life. And I can't imagine what you will do with my life. I never can imagine that I will stay right there, but with you, I can do it. Jesus, and I want to pray for all this church. I don't know. I don't know where are they. And I pray for people who are not with you. I pray that they open their heart for you and to be with you in your boat. I ask about people who are with you. And I praise you that these people are with you. But maybe it's time to go more, to go from their boat to the storm to you. Maybe you have some specific calling for their life. And I pray that you give energy for them, that you give faith for them, that you give some people who can encourage them. And I pray for people who now in the storm and they go in the water. But maybe they can see how big a storm and it is difficult for them. And they pray, please, Jesus, help them. Help them look for you and help them go through the storm and fulfill your calling or what you want from them. And one more, I want to appreciate you for this church, that they love me and that they with me in my storms. Thank you very much for all what you've done for us. I pray that you bless this day, each of this person, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much.
Ukraine was the crown jewel of the former Soviet Union because of its population and because of its resources. And that's one of the reasons why they wanted it back. And I think they overtook Crimea. But it's amazing that if you look at the former Soviet Union, Ukraine was most like the Russian country in the sense that it was of an Orthodox and Slavic background. Whereas if you look at all the stand countries, it's mostly Muslim. So Russia and Ukraine had the most in common. But Ukraine was repressed. They are a missionary-sending country now, are they not? Yes, which is an amazing thing. When you talk about the ability to get into the countries that we wouldn't be able to set foot in, primarily the stand countries, the Ukrainians can get into because they are had been, and again, the most likely people, because they had been oppressed by the Russians. That being the case, the people in the stand countries say, well, you're like us. You were oppressed. And they, because of their passport and visa situation, are able to get into the countries and share the gospel. So let's not think that the U.S. is the only sending country in the world. There's a lot of sending countries. And God is at work elsewhere. And we appreciate Zhenya's ministry and the team that he works with, working with university students. Guess who the next leaders are? The next heads of companies, the next people who are going to be in teaching positions and things like that. It's going to be the people that Zhenya and others are working with. So the fact that they are sharing the gospel, that these young adults are coming to know Christ as their Savior and lives are changing. One good thing they don't have in Ukraine, guess what? ACLU.
They're not trying to throw God out of the country. They already did that, and it didn't work. For 70 years, they were under communist nations that forgot God. They will tell you that. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said that. So it's an amazing story to realize the open doors that they have now. And we're grateful for Zhenya coming and sharing that. He's going to be sharing during our Sunday school time as well. So we'd encourage you to stay. You'll have an opportunity to ask more questions then. And you also can have him for lunch. Not today, but tomorrow, I believe, there's a lunch opening if you want to have him then. Or Tuesday for, or let's see, tomorrow breakfast, you could go someplace. Yeah? Maybe so. Okay. Okay. All right. Tuesday, breakfast, or let's see, breakfast is taken. Lunch and supper Tuesday, if anybody's interested in having him for meals then. But by all means, hear a little bit more about what's going on in his life, his family's life, the crew team, and ministry in Ukraine. Now, Bertie and Mary, lead us in our closing hymn, please.